at 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 63 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Friday, November 21st, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris, live at Innisfree Irish Pub. Fridays at the Free continue. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, it's a little rainy outside. The Eastern Illinois game doesn't have quite the buzz that we have for an SEC game. Certainly last week for Oklahoma, we were packed out in here, even before they opened. Moose is already out here mopping, getting ready, but last week, we had a good crowd of people. We probably had 15 people that came to listen to the show. I don't expect to have that many this week, but I will tell you this. If you want to slide by a little early, they open at 11 officially, but you know the drill. If you come around to the side door by the stage where I'm set up, you can come out and come on in and hang out with us here for Fridays at the Free. I tell you this, we need the rain. It's not raining very much. Whatever little bit we get, we need. It's not cold at all. It's very nice outside temperature-wise. You're looking outside. If you were just sitting in here looking outside, Moose, you'd think it was cold, wouldn't you? It has that look, but it's not. But it's very nice outside temperature-wise. So come on by. And then at 11 o'clock when they open, it's the game day menu this weekend because it's a home game. Oh, it is Lucky Lunch. Oh, it is Lucky Lunch meeting three today. Woohoo! Yeah, I guess because of the fact it's not such a busy game weekend with Eastern Illinois. It is Lucky Lunch meeting three or the Lucky Lunch soup salad or sandwich combo. So I'm glad Moose was out here to fix that right off the bat because all the folks that normally come on Friday that want the Lucky Lunch meeting three, but we have the game day menu. We have the full menu plus Lucky Lunch meeting three today. So get that out there. So all you folks that were listening, and I know there were several that messaged me about coming by and were asking about Lucky Lunch. So, yes, it's ready to go today. So that is great news. In fact, I know, who was it? Somebody specifically asked me about Lucky Lunch and I can't remember who it was. But anyway, if you're listening, you know who you are. And, yes, I had told you that it would only be game day menu, but it will be the Lucky Lunch meat and three menu day today, plus the Lucky Lunch soup salad and sandwich combo. We got a great show on tap as we always do, live from Industry Fivers Pub, 1925 University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa. Before we go any further, though, let me tell you this hour of the program brought to you as always by Alabama Credit Union. Member owned and not for profit. It really is just a better way of banking. I encourage you to find out more by going to alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com, or stop by and see them one of their 38 locations in the state of Alabama, one in Northwest Florida. Alabama Credit Union. Loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money. And pull extra change in your pocket. All right, great show on tap for you today. At 9:30, Adam Amin for Fox Sports will be here. And, he won't be here physically, but he'll be on the Gary Harris Show hotline. And, we'll be visiting with Adam. And he is, partnered up with, Drew Brees and Christina Pink for Fox coverage on NFL football. And he is going to be working the Falcons Saints game this weekend down in New Orleans. So he won't be that far from us. And, two NFC South teams, longtime rivals. So big matchup there. He'll talk NFL with us, NBA. And then at 10 o'clock, Alabama women's basketball coach Christy Curry. The Tide off to a 5-0 start, coming off a blowout win over Samford. And the true freshman from Spring Garden, Ace Austin, had a career-high 21. She is going to be a special basketball player. And she's got the crowd excited. Or had the crowd excited the other night. She's got the fan base excited. We'll talk Alabama women's basketball at 10. Then at 10:30, it's the Auburn Report. My pal Brett Pritchard from the Auburn Blitz. As Auburn gets ready to host Mercer tomorrow ahead of the Iron Bowl. And the freshman Deuce Knight will be starting at quarterback. That'll be interesting as Ashton Daniels wants to preserve an extra year of eligibility. So Daniels will sit this one out. He will play in the Iron Bowl. But Deuce Knight will get the start on Saturday against the Mercer Bears. Also this morning, Bama football trivia presented by T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall coming up at 10:30. And we're going to give away that national championship print from Coach Saban's first national championship. It is on all my social medias on at Gary Harris underscore WVUA on Twitter, Gary L. Harris, my personal page on Facebook, and Gary Harris WVUA 23. It's the first national championship print, full-size color print by Greg Gamble. We intended to give it away last week. And if you were listening, you know we lost our signal for a while last Friday morning from here at Innisfree Irish Pub. And we had an issue back in the control room, and we were not able to give away the print because we weren't able to run the contest. But we will do that today, plus my SEC point spread predictions coming up in the final segment of the show. And last week I went 3-4, but I'm still 53-41 for the season. That is not bad at all. And what else we got? Well, I think that pretty much runs it down. We got a great show on tap. Of course, your phone calls are welcome on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. 205-342-9904. All right, let's hit a few news and notes before we start taking some phone calls. Last night on Thursday Night Football, the Texans beat the Bills, and it was a good football game, 23-19. That Texans defense is legit. I mean, they are bad boys now, I'm telling you. They got to 6-5 on the year. The Bills fall to 7-4. They harassed Josh Allen all night long. The Bills' offense only managed 12 points. One of the touchdowns for the Bills came on a kickoff return, but Will Anderson put on a show. Now, let me just tell you, he put on a show last night. The former Alabama star was absolutely unblockable. He went for 9 pressures, 2.5 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, and 6 tackles in the game. And as I said, Josh Allen got sacked 8 times. That's the most he's ever been sacked. He's a great, great, great quarterback. But that Houston Texans defense, now I'm telling you what, you watch them up front, Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson Jr., all that crew, I mean, they are relentless. I mean, they are absolutely relentless. And I'm just going to tell you something. That defense, whew. I mean, there's some good defenses in the National Football League, but I will say this, that Texans defense, they got a special level of athleticism, size, speed, relentlessness under D'Amico Ryans, of course, the former Alabama All-American linebacker and Houston Texans linebacking legend as the head coach. They're really, really good. Of course, as I said, Alabama football getting ready for Eastern Illinois. Again, a reminder, that's a 1 o'clock kick tomorrow at Senior Day at Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium. And no over-the-air or cable television for that game. It'll be on the SEC Network Plus stream. So you'll have to have an SEC Network Plus or ESPN Plus membership to watch that game on the stream. Of course, if you do, you can put it on your TV, but it will not be on cable or free over-the-air television tomorrow. So make a note of that. All right, we're off and running on the show. It's 9:13. As I said, they are serving the Lucky Lunch special today because it's not quite as heavy a game day in terms of traffic and people for the Eastern Illinois game. So they are going to be able to serve the Lucky Lunch and the Lucky Lunch soup, salad, and sandwich combo special as well. So get on by here. Hang out with me for a little bit. It's nice and quiet this morning. Not nearly the buzz. Just a slight shower outside. Nothing major at all. Like I said, it's actually pretty nice. So get on by here and see me at Innisfree Irish Pub. Adam Amin coming up at 9:30. Corey and Trustful, you hold tight. We'll get to you on the other side as we start taking our phone calls in the next segment, 205-342-9904. As always, I'm happy to be with you on Fridays at the Free. And you know what else that means? Reed and Chase do that great Friday weekend music to get you ready for game day and for the weekend. We play some great weekend themed music. As I mentioned, Reed and Chase both back in the control room holding down the fort. Let's go. Let's have some fun. Fridays at the Free. We'll continue right after this on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Friday morning. Dr. Daniel Braze, the new Tuscaloosa County School Superintendent, he was selected at last night's board meeting, and he begins his new duties today. Dr. Bray is no stranger to the county school system. He's been serving as the TCSS Director of Secondary Curriculum and Instruction. He was selected over four other candidates. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather throughout the day. It's absolutely free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special.
The Tide Post Game Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Kick it off at 9 a.m. on a Friday. Friday's at the Free. You're welcome to slide by and join us. It is 9:19, and we're going to get our phone call started with our pal Corey over there in Trustful. You're going to lead us off, Corey. Good morning.
Sing it, Gary. Sing it. Good morning, Gary.
Hey, good morning, Corey.
Sing it, Gary. Sing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a good time with those songs, my friend. Absolutely. You know that, brother.
You know, when I look at this game, I'm just looking for clean operation. No injuries. And get out of their health. I mean, you know, Alabama obviously will win this game easily. I want to get out there with get a crisp operation going, and I just get ready for the Iron Bowl because, I mean. There should be an express free in this game.
Yeah, hopefully, Corey, the way this script goes is that Alabama is ready to play. They get out on top early, and I'm hoping in the third and fourth quarter we get to see a lot of young guys. We get to see some players get some experience and turn the page quickly and get into Iron Bowl mode. That's ideal. Of course, you have to respect your opponent, and Eastern Illinois is, you know, going to show up and they're going to come to play. But, Alabama should be able to handle the opposition. Of course, we had Coach Chris Wilkerson and linebacker Jawan Nixon on yesterday from Eastern Illinois. And I think they'll have a good approach and a good plan. But, you're right, Corey. If Alabama does what it should do, this game should be over pretty early.
I'm not old enough to remember this. But you remember when Florida-Tennessee used to mean something?
Oh, absolutely.
Obviously, this year, it's not going to. Florida's obviously not the team they used to be, and Tennessee is not the same way where they were supposed to have a better year. And that game used to be for the SEC East, and it really used to be, and sometimes it used to be the game of the SEC altogether.
Yeah.
And that game has lost a lot of its luster.
It has. And remember, it also used to be in September, too. Remember, it was early in the season, and now it's late. But, hey, it's cyclical, Corey. Things change, and you know, there's every opportunity for that game to be big again. All it takes is, you know, one season where both those teams are good, and it'll be right back. But that's the nature of having 16 teams in this league. They're going to be some of these games that we consider to be traditional must-see games that lose a little bit of their luster, and there are others that start gaining in visibility. Like all of a sudden, you know, with Alabama and Oklahoma, with Oklahoma having beat the Tide the last 2 years, that game all of a sudden is a big game. You know, it's one of those games where until Alabama can beat Oklahoma, it's going to be lingering out there as a big time game.
This weekend kind of sucks as far as matchups. I mean, there's not really – I mean, the only game that's worth talking about is Oregon-USC, but there's not really that big matchup that
right.
No one else is really talking about.
Well, in the SEC, and, you know, we'll run them down. I mean, Kentucky at Vanderbilt, Kentucky's playing a lot better. It's, you know – Vanderbilt still holding out hopes to get to Atlanta. I mean, they're not completely out of this thing. So, you know, that'll be a good game. I mean, Tennessee and Florida is still an interesting game. Arkansas at Texas, you know, that's a rivalry game. But you're right. For the most part, the schedule is not it's not great, but that's the way it is the week usually before rivalry weekend. So not the number of marquee matchups that we're accustomed to, but still some good football.
When you look at Alabama, I asked Drew DeArmond some over-under on some stats for the game. And I'm going to quickly run them by you just to get your opinion on them. Over-under Ty Simpson of 5 passing touchdowns Saturday.
Over-under on Ty, 5 passing touchdowns? I'm going to take the under. And I'll tell you why, Corey. I'm hoping that he's not in there long enough to get 5 touchdowns. Or if he gets them all in the first half. So I'll take the under there. I mean, I think he's going to have some success, but I'll say under 5 touchdowns. How's that?
Okay. Over under 200 rushing yards as a team.
Whoo, Lord. Well, if they were playing an SEC opponent, I'd take the under. You know that. I'm going to say over. I think that they will, even if it's just, you know, fool's gold to some extent because of Eastern Illinois not being able to match up defensively, although we know Juwan Nixon's a heck of a football player from Hillcrest High School. I'll take the over there. How about that? I think they'll run the ball for, you know, I think somebody will bust a big run tomorrow.
Let's see. Over, under 3 turnovers created by the Tide.
Oh, mercy. You got a whole list for me. I got to get to another phone caller here in a minute. I'll say they'll be 3 or more. I think they'll force some turnovers tomorrow.
And then over under Ty Simpson 300 passing yards.
All right, this is the last one. I'm going to go I just don't think he's going to be in there that long tomorrow. I'm going to say under.
Okay. And the reason why I was saying that is to get the offense in a rhythm going.
Yeah.
Because we just need to get the offense back in a rhythm to go into the Iron Bowl. And I know you're not going to take a lot from this game, but you don't want to go into the Iron Bowl sloppy.
You don't, but I think they can do all those things and get in a rhythm. And you know, I'm not saying he won't have a good game. I'm just saying I don't think he's going to have 5 touchdowns or 300-plus yards. I think the offense will get in a rhythm, though. I really do, Corey. Hey, man, great phone call. Have a great weekend, buddy.
You too, Gary. Roll Tide.
Thank you. All right, let's get to Pat. Hey, Pat, good morning.
Hey, man, I'm one of my guys that has 300 yards in the first half. If he don't, we in trouble. I'm talking about, and I'm going to say by in trouble, is that I want to see 4 to 5 passes completed over 20 yards. And if they complete passes over 20 yards, they'll be touchdowns. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, I think they're going to get right tomorrow. They're playing an opponent that they can't match up with them. And so I think you and Corey are on the right track that they're going to post some numbers. I just don't think, and this is just my opinion, I may very well be wrong. He's played the entire season. I just think if they get a lead and they get going, I think they're going to take Ty out and they're going to play
Austin Mack and Keelan Russell a lot in this game. That's just my thinking. I think A.K. Deere is going to play a lot at running back. Dre Washington, I think they're going to get some of that. I just think they're going to try to get a lot of guys in tomorrow. So I think the numbers will be there, the stats will be there. But I don't know that Ty is going to have a great statistical game, because my expectation is that he's going to play about a half of football.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure. Man, but anyway, I got to feed grandkids this morning, so I'm not going to be able to see you. But hey, if you have anybody or anything that want three tickets, I got three. They get the privilege of sitting with me, and all they cost is a stadium dog, a commemorative cup, and a 20-ounce Diet Coke, and they got three tickets.
All right. Well, listen. No, and somebody else has texted me about tickets. This is a game, and I know there's a lot of people who don't get to normally come to games. Listen, Pat, let's do this. Pat's got three tickets that I can't really, in a situation here where I can handle all the brokering of tickets. But Pat, if you're serious about that, stay on the line, leave Chase and Reed your number, and anybody that's interested in getting those tickets.
This is a cheap way to have good seats. But I do want a Coca-Cola and a hot dog out of it.
All right, he wants a Coca-Cola and a hot dog for his three tickets. But if you want to leave your number with Chase and Reed, and then someone, anybody that's interested in those tickets, call the station, and they'll hook you up with Pat, and he can transfer them to you. And I've got a couple of other people that are offering up tickets that I'll get the number to Chase and Reed. So, all right, give me a score prediction for the game.
Yeah, 63-0 at Bama Rolls.
All right, we got you. All right.
Over 200 yards rushing for that.
Yeah, I like that too. I do think they're gonna. I think they're gonna get some yards on the ground. I do. Yeah. Hey, thank you, Pat.
Yeah, have a blessed day, sir. Thank you.
All right, real quickly, let's get Steve on, and then we'll have to hit the break. Hey, Steve. Good morning.
Hey, Gary. Thanks. If you discussed this before, I didn't get it, and I apologize. But humor me a little bit. With what we know now, how big a loss is Justice Haynes to the running back room?
Well, he's a quality back, and I thought he was a quality back when he was here. I don't really know what happened, but yeah, he's had an unbelievable year at Michigan.
He would be to me a
good addition to this running back room. But Steve, as well as I do, we're in the portal and NIL era, so players, if they don't feel like it's happening for them at a certain school, they've got the opportunity to leave, and he did. And, the flip side of that is, how big addition would he be? Well, we see what he's doing at Michigan, but how would they be playing him here? I don't know. They didn't play him that much last year. So I
never understood that. I never understood why they didn't play him any more than they did. I just thought he was the best version of Jam Miller and, say, Daniel Hill.
Okay. Well, he has been this year. He's had a phenomenal year. Yeah. So.
Okay.
There's a lot of former Bama players out there that are doing really well. Hey, what's your score prediction?
Yeah, there are. Let's go 48-3.
All right. I got it 58-6. If anybody is wondering. So, all right. Tell you what. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate you, man. All right. It's 9:30. We'll come back with Adam Amin from Fox Sports. And if you're interested in those tickets that Pat has, you can call the radio station or. Our social media, I've got Pat's contact number as well. And also, we've got someone else that texted me that listens to the show. Mark has a pair of tickets for free. And you can text me or social media message me, and I'll hook you up with his number as well. All right, we'll come back with Adam Amin from Fox Sports next year on Fridays at the Free on the Gary Harris Show.
Home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on the Eastern Illinois Panthers. Our coverage begins at 10 a.m. on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi.
Mississippi online at pearlriverresort.com and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram online at
longer wear. Shopping local means supporting local schools and charities.
Shopping local means a relationship. Shop Hudson Pool Fine Jewelers, downtown Tuscaloosa.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
.com, where you pick it out and we'll work it out. Select models with approved credit plus tax registration and fees. $16.67 per thousand. Finance for 60 months. See delivery details. Expires month end.
Since 2011, Billy Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and at
the Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
The best place for your high school football coverage is right here on Tide 100.9 and online on Tide100.9.com.
Welcome back in to Fridays at the 3, the Gary Harris Show, broadcasting live from Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard. As I always say, they don't open until 11 officially. A couple of people have already swung by, though. Just come by the side door, come on in by the stage where I'm set up, and you can hang out with us. And then at 11, we can have lunch. All right, it's time now for Adam Amin from Fox Sports, along with Drew Brees and Christina Pink will be on the call for one of the great rivalries, certainly in this part of the country, the rivalry for many, many years. Saints, Falcons, they don't always have great teams, but they do get after each other, and they'll do that again on a Sunday down in New Orleans. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Doing great. Appreciate you coming on. Before we get to your game and some others, let's talk about last night. Another example of just the parity in the National Football League. I mean, we know that Houston's got a good defense, and obviously I follow them some with D'Amico and the strong Alabama connections they have. And, issues with Stroud being out with a concussion. Now, offensively, they've sputtered at times. But last night, that defense got after Josh Allen in a way that, I don't know that he's ever had a defense. Now, he hadn't been sacked 8 times, I know that. But it seemed like every time he went back to throw the football. And Will Anderson with 6 tackles, 3 quarterback hits, 2.5 sacks, 9 pressures. He and Hunter were just after him all night. One of the touchdowns for the Bills came on a kickoff return, and the Texans got the win. And now suddenly they're at 6-5, and they're another one of these teams that you start saying, oh, boy, they could make a push here. And if they get in the playoffs, they could be dangerous.
I agree with that, Gary. I mean, they've only given up, I think, something like 180 points or something like that in 11 games. I mean, this is a legitimately good defense, as we know. 8 sacks last night. Their defense has started to play well. I think Davis Mills is doing just enough to keep them in a game. You know, the 3 straight wins with, you know, Stroud dealing with the concussion, as you said. They've had to navigate the quarterback changes, but the defense is doing it. But Anderson has been outstanding. Allen was harassed all night. I look at Josh, and I know they've leaned so much on their run game, right, and wanted to lean so much on their run game. And it feels like they've been kind of waiting to, you know, maybe let Josh loose. And it felt like every time they did last night, the drop back game, you know, he was harassed. And, that's how the game ended too. He was harassed when he threw that last interception. So a really impressive Houston performance. And listen, it's really hard in the NFL to look at the first month and think, well, that's who a team is, just because, like, teams don't really play that well in the first month of the season. I hate to say it. For the most part, you know, teams just aren't very sharp out of the gate. You know, we've talked about this before with how the preseason is structured. Now only down to 3 games. Your starters often don't play in one of those games. They maybe get, you know, 3 quarters of work during the preseason now. So really those first 3-4 weeks of the year are just teams trying to figure out what they're good at, what they need to install, what they need to take out of their playbooks. It's a lot of overload in that camp session into the preseason. And I think a lot of teams just don't have a great sense for who they are, and they get, you know, the good teams, even the middle class teams, the teams that are, you know, going to flirt with a playoff spot, you know, they're figuring their stuff out in the second month of the year, or that first month of the year, and maybe starting to come into their own in the second month. And maybe that's the story of the Houston Texans this year. Again, I know it's strange without CJ Stroud, but, you know, we know what their identity is, and it's defense. You've only given up 182 points in 11 games. That's a pretty good recipe to try to keep yourself in just about every game.
Let's look at some of the matchups coming up this weekend. And I want to start with Eagles-Cowboys because that's a game where the Eagles are winning. And, I mean, that's a bottom line. But Jalen Hurts is catching some criticism. There was an article that you know, players aren't happy that he's not, in their opinion, doing what they game plan for. Of course, Jalen will tell you he's just trying to win the game. And the Cowboys, man, you know, they brought in Big Q, Quinnen Williams, and they're now there was the Raiders. We have to take that into consideration. But their defense, got after the Raiders pretty good. And this game is in Dallas. If the Cowboys were to win here, they'd get back to 500 at 5-5-1. Do you see Dallas still as a team that could make the playoffs?
They have talent. You know, that's always been obvious. They have an emotional hook, you know, for their guys that's been very galvanizing over the course of the week. You know, this sudden passing of Marshawn Nealon was shocking. And for, you know, them to comport themselves the way they did against the Raiders, now you're facing a team that feels like they're in a little bit of flux with how they've played offensively. You know, I think for as inconsistent as Dallas has been, they're still figuring out what their identity is going to be going forward. That's both offensively and defensively. And maybe what we saw against Las Vegas the other night can be more of an identity on the defensive end where they were aggressive. You mentioned Quinnen Williams and his performance and how he's fit in pretty nicely right out of the gate. The Eagles are having a lot of struggles. You know, the Barkley's not running the way he did last year. AJ Brown's been very vocal about how he's been unhappy with, you know, offense. You know, it was a weird game the first time around with the Jalen Carter spitting incident with Dak Prescott in a game that had a delay. So, you know, I feel like Dallas is going into this with a lot of confidence, and the Eagles have looked fairly pedestrian, I think, offensively. Now, they don't turn the ball over. They run the ball very effectively. They use all four downs better than just about any team in the NFL. So there's things that Philadelphia does that have negated some of the issues that they've had just by executing a couple of things really, really well. But is that going to be enough to get you to where you want to go by the time you get to the end of the season and you're hoping to, you know, be one of the elite level playoff teams? I'm not sure. I think these next few weeks for Philadelphia are crucial because they do need to figure out what they have in terms of an identity. They're going to play Chicago, which is playing hot, you know, coming up shortly. I think it might be on Friday. They have the Black Friday game. They got to go to Los Angeles. That's not an easy game. You got Buffalo coming up, which could be a matchup of desperate teams in the second to last week of the year. A couple of divisional games at the end with Washington. Like, there's still a lot at stake for this Philadelphia team, and I think they need to figure things out fast because Dallas is going to come in with a new kind of sense of rejuvenation after what we saw on Monday night.
Yeah, week 12, and there are so many storylines and so many teams that are in the hunt. The Chiefs are obviously they're the Chiefs, but they're in a little bit of trouble, and they host the Colts. And, you know, is this Kansas City's last stand, so to speak? This is one at Arrowhead that you would think that if they're going to make a push, they need to win this game over a team that is 8-2 and has been tremendous. But Daniel Jones lately has shown a few chinks in the armor, and there are a lot of, I've been listening to a lot of the analysts that say we're going to see the real Daniel Jones before the season's over, meaning the Daniel Jones that we saw in New York. What do you think of this matchup?
I mean, that's a fair assessment just based off of the track record for Daniel Jones. And again, their running game is so good with Taylor, and you know, they've just been so strong. You know, Kansas City's lost all these close games this year after they had been, you know, the ultimate one-score game kings for the better part of a couple of seasons. You know, I think Indianapolis is really good, but a lot of that is Taylor dependent. You know, now Daniel Jones has played really well. And I watched him a couple of weeks ago in Berlin, and their offense really seems to gel well. I think their defense has done a lot of good things. They've, you know, obviously picked up Sauce Gardner in the last few weeks, which has been a big boost for their defense, and that should be a boost for their passing defense for the rest of this season. So that's obviously a positive. I think this is one of those games for Kansas City that is a barometer. Like, if you're going to be a competitive playoff team, or a team that's even competing to be in the playoffs, which is a question now based on the current records, this is the type of game you have to win, because this is the type of team that you're going to face. They struggled offensively against Denver last week, came down to a field goal, couldn't pull that one off. You know, it's a similar style with Indianapolis. I think they lean on the ground game, and they've got a dynamic quarterback wide receiver tandem and a tight end tandem that's been really good when they needed him to be. Same thing, I look at Bo Nix. When he needs to be good, he's been really, really good. And Daniel Jones, when he needs to be good, he's been really, really good. And this is a tough week for Kansas City, because they've got today, or they've got this weekend against Indianapolis. They got a short week. They got to play Dallas on Thursday, on Thanksgiving as well. So this is kind of like a really make or break 6-day stretch coming up for Kansas City. I think if they win both of these games, they feel good. They're right back in it. They have quality wins. If they don't, and you drop the 5-7, all of a sudden you're talking about, well, you know, what are we going to do in second week of January for a vacation?
Yeah, you're right. All right, Terry, you're Chicago guys, we know, and you mentioned the Bears. Nice story. I mean, at this point, though, I mean, they're 7-3. I mean, I thought early on that Ben Johnson would have an impact. I knew he'd help Caleb Williams. I said, well, they'll be improved. They appear to be legit. I mean, they're leading the division. I mean, at what point do we take the Bears out of the, oh, nice story, improved football team, to, hey, serious contender? Do you think that's what Chicago is?
I wouldn't go that far just yet, because I think these next 3 weeks are going to determine a lot, right? Because they're playing Pittsburgh, then Philadelphia on a short week on Black Friday, as we talked about, and then they've got to play Green Bay for the first time this year. So, you know, suddenly this is a team that's in great position, sitting in first, but with a really difficult back end of the schedule. They got to play San Francisco later as well at the end of the season. They got to play Detroit one more time, and that was a team that put up 52 on them earlier this year. I still feel like the growth is there, and if I'm looking at the big picture in Chicago, this is a successful year. Just to get to 7 wins, to see the growth of the offense, you know, the combo of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams and all these skill guys that they've invested in, they've looked really good at times offensively, and they've been able to figure out ways to win. And usually, you know, the team, when you've had 5 game-winning drives this year, you know, those are the types of games that young teams, when they're starting to turn a corner, begin to win. And they're starting to win those types of games. So that is a tremendous sign of growth. They may end up with, you know, 9 or 10 wins, which would be a huge bump for them, and that'll put them into the playoffs in the NFC. And that's going to be a great learning experience. Do I think they're at the level of even the Philadelphias, for as much as they've struggled, or Detroit's, or the Rams, even the, you know, the Seahawks, or the organizational structure of the 49ers? No, I don't think they're there. But I do think they're on the up and up, like a team, you know, like Carolina. They could find themselves like a team like Tampa Bay that finds some level of consistency and becomes a team that can play well in the division, play well outside of it, and rack up 9 wins every year, and then have a couple of games that go one way or another. And that's a huge jump for a team that is looking for some kind of spark, and especially offensively. I've been saying, living in Chicago, this is the most buzz I can remember for a Bears team in probably 7 years, and it's the most buzz I can remember for an offense for a Bears team in like 40, like probably in my lifetime. So, you know, there's a lot of good growth pieces, a lot of good storylines for Chicago going forward. Is going to be a little tougher in the second half and the back end of the schedule. Of course it is. And, you know, if they only end up with 9 or 10 wins, with 2 wins or 3 wins on the back half, that's still a successful season.
Let's stay in the NFC North, because it is a division loaded with good teams. Lions get the Giants. You'd expect them to get a win there. Vikings, Packers. I mean, if you're the Vikings, I mean, you're running out of opportunities. And McCarthy now at quarterback, some issues there. The Packers have not been great, but they're still 6-3-1. Minnesota goes into Green Bay, but we know in the NFC North, it seems like home field isn't always the advantage that is in other divisions. We see road teams win in this division. Can the Vikings pull off an upset and try to get back in the race?
I think so. I think Kevin O'Connell is a great game planner. You know, he has been for several years with multiple quarterbacks. I J.J. McCarthy is still so young and so malleable when it comes to what he's able to do. He's still finding himself. Now, the problem that he's facing this week, you're on the road, you're in Lambeau, you're facing Micah Parsons, a defense that feels much better, defense that hasn't felt poor at all. You know, this has still been one of the elite level defenses in the NFL, even during their little two game skid, you know, where they were, you know, losing to the likes of Carolina and, they've lost to Cleveland this year. They've had a couple of rough games offensively, but that defense hasn't been the problem. They've kept them in every game. And they're feeling a little bit better this week. Parsons got back on track last week with a good game. They've got good linebackers. They've got a good secondary. I think it's going to be a challenge. But I do think that J.J. McCarthy is perfectly capable of putting points on a defense if he's protected. If he's protected, this is a much different looking game. And I think they're in it in the fourth quarter. Do I think they're better than Green Bay? Not necessarily, but it'd be quite the upset, I think, if they went into Lambeau and pulled off a win. And they can get back into this thing relatively quickly. They've got Seattle, which has looked up and down the last couple of weeks, the week after that as well. So this is a good chance for Minnesota to get right back in it.
Adam Amin with us from Fox Sports. You know, obviously, Adam, we would normally waste time on the Browns and the Raiders, 2-2-8 teams, but Shedeur Sanders will get the start. And boy, I've watched in interest. Of course, he came in against the Ravens, and he is a polarizing figure. And I've seen a lot of people criticize his play, and then there have others that said, "Hey, man, it's been a unique deal with him with the Browns." But I want to ask you, because you cover the NFL, you know the routine. I saw a lot of the analysts making a big deal about him not getting enough reps at practice, but he was, you know, a third team quarterback going in, and that isn't that the norm? I mean, if you're a backup in the NFL, particularly a third team guy, you don't get many reps, do you, Adam?
No, this is pretty typical. Like, I was talking to Kirk Cousins yesterday because we were getting ready to do the Atlanta, you know, we're getting ready for Atlanta, New Orleans this week, and Cousins had made one start this year, and he didn't take most of the number one reps in his first start because Michael Penix was had a questionable injury, whether, you know, he could potentially play against Miami a few weeks ago. So Cousins is working with the second team and getting the backup reps and working with the scout team guys while Penix, you know, is trying to navigate through a knee injury and not at 100% and still working with the ones. And then all of a sudden late in the week, you know, you get thrust into it. That's the backup. Now think if you're the number three quarterback, how often you're getting in with the number one guys. So it's of course he hasn't had a lot of reps. He was the third string quarterback at the beginning of the year. So it's understandable that he's not going to get the same, go around to practice with these guys. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting week this week as well, because he was named as the starter. So maybe he gets, you know, a little bit more time, but they've got a unique situation, I think. And it's a little bit different for this particular spot because he is a draft pick, but he's a third string QB. They've had to deal with multiple injuries. They've dealt with the trade, of Flacco this year. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into the weird roller coaster that is the Cleveland Browns quarterback spot, and that's obviously been the case for quite some time this entire century. But, I mean, he doesn't have a ton of experience. It's going to be a difficult, you know, outing no matter what for Shedeur Sanders. But this is an opportunity. Every chance you get is a precious one, whether you're a rookie or, like we talked about with Kirk, you know, the other day, you're, you know, 14-year NFL veteran who's, you know, making just his second start in the last 12 months. Like, the opportunities are few and far between sometimes in this league. So you have to make the most of what you have, and you can't make excuses that, hey, I didn't get enough reps or whatever. That's not your job. Your job is to step in and do the job. And that's how you're going to be judged, win, loss, result-based. Even if it's in a lost season relatively. And if you perform well, that's going to open some eyes and that's going to build trust. And that's all this league is about, is can I trust the guy who's touching the ball every offensive snap during a game, and that's what Kevin Stefanski is looking for.
All right, Adam, as always, time flies, but a couple more that I want to mention, and well, I want to mention the Panthers because of what Bryce was able to do against the Falcons last week, and you've got the Rams hosting the Bucks, so it's reasonable to think that the Bucks could lose on Sunday night, and the Panthers could be tied for the NFC South lead going into their game against San Francisco on Monday night. How surprising is this?
The whole season's been really surprising, and the types of wins that they've had, and again, they've had a few game winners, including last week at the Horn. You know, they did it against Dallas. I had their game against Dallas. I had their game against Green Bay where they pulled off a couple of big upsets. You know, two touchdown underdog going into Lambeau and winning and holding that offense in check when they had come in hot. It's been a pretty impressive run, and you're starting to see some comfort. Bryce Young, you know, listen, they've invested in their offense. They've spent a lot of money on the offensive line, even though they're dealing with injuries right now. They've spent high-level draft picks, first-round picks on wide receivers the last couple of years. We finally saw Xavier Leggett haul in a deep ball and perform well last week against Atlanta, something that they've been waiting for on a more consistent basis. So let's see if that continues. This Tetero McMillan kid is fantastic, and he and Bryce Young have a really good connection. The Rico Dowdle signing has been a revelation, you know, putting Chuba Hubbard into a backup role. I know it's been frustrating for him, but Rico Dowdle has proven that he's a legit, you know, last year wasn't a fluke, you know, with Dallas, you know, running for 1,000 yards. So their investment in the offense is obvious. They have talent on the defensive end. They're doing enough to stay in games. Bryce Young is not turning the ball over very often. And for him to get some of the explosive plays that he got to the tune of almost 450 pass yards last week was really impressive. I'm happy for him. You know, easy kid, as we've always talked about, easy kid to root for. It's an easy program, easy franchise to root for with the way they're playing right now. So good for them, and it makes it interesting for us. I've got Rams, Panthers next week, so you know, we'll see if they have an upset in them on Monday against San Francisco and maybe another one in store against one of the best teams in the NFL in Los Angeles next week.
Absolutely. In your game, Falcons-Saints down in New Orleans, 3:25 central kick late game on Fox. Man, the Falcons have lost five in a row. Penix is out for the season. As I was talking with D'Orlando Ledbetter yesterday, I mean, serious questions about his future now in Atlanta with all of the different, even though this is a different knee, it's his third ACL. He's already, I think, 26 or 27 years old. The Saints are 2-8, but we know the rivalry aspect. Raheem Morris's future is in doubt. Fontenot's future could be in doubt. A lot of storylines surrounding what is going to be an intense football game because, quite frankly, these two teams, you know, have a great rivalry and don't care for each other.
Yeah, absolutely, and that always is a factor. And I've called a handful of these games in my life, and it's always a little chippy, and it's always physical. And these, as you said, they don't like each other. Cousins got hurt in this game last year, which kind of started his downfall in the second half of the season. They played two close games last year. Cousins has won in that building. He's won in the playoffs before in New Orleans with Minnesota. You know, obviously, I'll have Drew Brees standing next to me. He faced Cousins five times, and they played tight, a couple of really tight games in their head-to-head careers. There's a lot of insight. We're gonna have some fun calling it. Obviously, the records aren't sexy, but you know, the rivalry aspect makes for an intriguing contest on Sunday.
Adam, awesome. Real quick, 15 seconds. Your cardiac Bulls, man. I mean, they're a fun team to follow, I know, for you.
10 clutch games out of the 14 that they've played so far, and they've won six of them. Nikola Vucevic, a little bit of rejuvenation with three clutch shots over the course of the last couple of weeks. They're fun. They're playing Miami in the Cup tonight. That'll be an interesting test, even though Miami's a little shorthanded.
Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it. Great segment, as always, with Adam Amin. All right, we're going to go ahead and close out the first hour because I went over, as I always do, The Cure. Friday Men Love will take us out, and when we come back, we'll be into hour number two. Friday's at the Free. Tommy from Rye Mills has stopped by as well. We've got several people here already, and come on by and join us a little early if you want. We're going to kick off hour number two with Christy Curry, Alabama women's basketball coach. Keep it dialed in to Tide 100.9 FM, 1230 AM WTBC, the Tide 109 app, and Tide109.com. The second hour of the program is on the way.
Christian Miller, host of the Miller's Edge here on Tide 100.9, coming to wish you and all your loved ones a happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays on behalf of myself and all the fine folks here at Tide 100.9.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept, Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa at Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m., available for after hours.
At Decades, it's not just food, it's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past, downtown at Timberson Square.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles,
the Houston Texans came ready to play for Thursday night football as they defeated the Buffalo Bills 23-19. Josh Allen was 25 of 35 for 262 yards and two interceptions. He was also sacked a career high 8 times.
Yeah, it's not fun. I ran into a couple myself. I got to be better with throwing the ball away and living to see another down and letting us play some situational football and pinning them deep. And too many times I was going backwards, and I got to be better on that.
Houston improves to 6-5. In the NBA, Tyrese Maxey dropped 54 points to go along with 9 assists as the 76ers topped the Bucks 123-114 in overtime. Sacramento has lost 8 in a row after losing to the Grizzlies.
Free delivery now at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $396 or more. Offer valid 11/5 through 12/3. U.S. only. See store online for details.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
The Gary Harris Show live from Innisfree Irish Pub. Fridays at the Free continues. They open the doors at 11 a.m. And Lucky Lunch is on tap for this game weekend. So get on by here. In fact, we got several people already inside hanging out with me. You can come around to the side door by the stage where I'm at. All right, we're going to get this second hour underway with my weekly visit with Alabama women's basketball coach Christy Curry. The Tide off to an outstanding start, 5-0, coming off a 84-45 victory over neighboring Samford on Wednesday night, a game that was close for a half, but Alabama took care of business in the second half and now getting ready to go spend a few days in the Bahamas. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Good to have you on, as always. Let's talk about this team kind of feeling their, you know, a lot of new players, some returnees as well, kind of coming together. And this last game, we saw, I know the fans were excited to see Ace Austin have, you know, if you want to call it a coming out party, 21 points, saw all the different ways that she can impact a team and a game as a true freshman. So a lot of good performances the other night, but I know she really kind of led the way, and the fans were excited because of her track record in this state as a multi-time state champion. And boy, she was really good for you the other night.
Yeah, you know, we're excited about, you know, what she does for our program, and has a ton of potential. You know, there'll be ups and downs as a freshman, but she certainly is starting to look more comfortable in the system and style of play.
When you're, and this has been kind of a theme, and I guess that's probably good for you as a coach. Most of these games have turned out being comfortable margins, but several of them have been competitive, at least in the first half. And I don't know, I know coaches say halftime adjustments are overrated, but it seems like when you get in there at halftime, your team comes out in the second half, and they open these games up. What's the key there for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a 40-minute game. I think it's very difficult at half to always, you know, you look across the mid-major level and there's a lot more parity. You know, those teams have recruited the portal, and it's definitely a different ball game than it has been in the past. You know, you look at, you know, scores from across the country yesterday, there were mid-majors that upset Power 5 because the portal. I just think it's hard to blow somebody out at halftime. So, you know, we just stay together for 40 minutes. All these teams that we've played lately, I think, are going to do very well in their league play, which helps our net. You know, we were at 38 for a top 20 net score against Samford and got to 39. So in the end, over the 40-minute game, I think we're always, you know, there's certain game goals we're trying to reach from a point spread standpoint.
Coach Christy Curry with us this morning. When you look at the schedule, we've talked about this, a lot of home games in the pre-conference schedule, but now you're going to go down to the Bahamas and a great opportunity for a holiday trip and to play some good competition in the Pink Flamingo Championships. You got Harvard on Monday, then you'll either have Minnesota or South Florida. Just discuss this trip and you know, the excitement of getting to go to the Bahamas aside from a basketball standpoint. What is this going to do for your team?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be great for our chemistry, you know, with seven new faces, having a chance to spend together time on the road. You know, I know everyone talks about, but these are things you have to do, Gary, to stay relevant in recruiting. You know, you have to take these trips or you're not going to be in the ballgame in recruiting as far as all the different tournaments across the country. So we're appreciative that we're getting this opportunity. And that's the biggest piece of it. You know, it's not for me to go hang out in the Bahamas. I'll be in a ballroom studying. You know, I'll be watching film. We'll be game planning because we'll get a chance to watch South Florida, Minnesota live. So there's so much that goes into it. Certainly our players will enjoy the experience. You know, there's four teams down there right before us and four after us, and then multiple tournaments across. I know South Florida's men and women are both there. So it's going to be great for their boosters. But there's a great opportunity for us to build chemistry against quality opponents in a road setting, a neutral site, and I think that will help us as we move into January.
What is your scouting report on Harvard?
Very fundamental, very smart. They run their actions extremely well. You know, they were NCAA tournament team a year ago. As you know, the Ivy League is extremely talented. So it's going to be a great test for us from a standpoint of making sure that we understand the defensive game plan and that we can get critical stops to get our transition game going. So certainly some strengths that we have that maybe aren't theirs and some strengths they have that maybe aren't ours. So it'll be a testament to who can understand their strengths and maximize those.
I mentioned Ace Austin. Of course, you've got other good players as well. And I want to, you know, talk about Essence Cody because she has she's developed in the program. And she's got the kind of size that, quite frankly, you've got to have when you get into conference play. But it seems to me that she's, for her size, athletic. Her stamina's increased since the time she's been with you. And that she's at the point where she could become a legit power post player in the Southeastern Conference. Am I right?
Oh, no doubt. She's, you know, taking that next step from a maturity standpoint with her pace. You know, sometimes it takes post players a minute. And she's doing a great job. But I also love her ability to step out and face up and shoot three. I think as we continue to move through our schedule, you'll see a true five matchup for her. For example, against Harvard or South Florida or Minnesota both. So it's going to be really good to see her response there. You know, she is one of the most talented forwards in the country, and so it's going to be a great test for her to continue to grow and get better, stay out of foul trouble, all the little things that come with that.
You mentioned bringing a team together with seven new players, and right now, you know, in these non-conference games, you're learning your team, you're working with rotations. Once you get through the pre-conference and, you know, you travel South Carolina, you kick off conference play, tip off conference play. What do you feel like in terms of rotation, Coach? How many players do you think will be in this rotation this year for you once you get into SEC play?
You know, we'd love to go 10 deep. I'm not sure that, you know, will be realistic based off certain games and certain matchups and who we're playing. But we do like the depth on this team. We have two more players that would play a big part in Wyatt Jennings and Eris Lester, who are still out. And, you know, those two coming back are really going to help us. And so I think it will continue to evolve, continue to develop. And that starts every day in practice, every week in practice.
We talked about this last week, but I saw Sarah Ashley Barker at the football game and Aaliyah, obviously, and the success that team had last year. And the fact that those players have gone on to professional success, and you like having them around your program, and it feels like that they're embraced, but also that the program last season just felt like, even though you put a lot of time and effort in, you've had other good teams, it just felt like last year was kind of a watershed year in the sense that Alabama women's basketball can compete with anybody in the country, and that that your program is at that level now.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, that's something that we take a lot of pride in. It all starts in recruiting and the support given to your program. And I think that's something that we continue to work out every single day. I think it's really hard to, you know, replace three draft picks. But obviously we feel good about this team and who came in and what we've done in the portal and what we've done with true freshmen. So I think we'll continue to work and build. And certainly experience, you know, matters. I think we're seeing a little bit of inconsistencies because of inexperience. So as much as we can establish game-like environments every single day in practice, the same kind of intensity, and then continue to just play, this team will become better and better with each day.
Lastly, I haven't really asked you much about this, but in the NIL era, and I guess everything's running pretty smoothly because I haven't heard anything coming out of Alabama where there's any issues or any – how are you doing that? Or do you have people that help you with that so that when once you get to the season, everything's lined up and you feel like, you know, we're not going to have to deal with this during the season? Because I've talked to some other coaches that says, hey, you know, it's an issue during the season sometimes with players that, that come to me and want to get more or want to know why this is happening. Doesn't seem like you've had to deal with that much. Again, I, you know, behind the scenes, I don't know what's going on, but it seems like you've got a good program in terms of how the NIL and the portal and all that is being handled, because you don't seem to have any issues at all during the season.
Yeah, I mean, from, you know, I think we're very honest, you know, we're very candid in the recruiting process on where we're at and how that will be handled, and therefore we're not going to have any dialogue in season. And so we have, you know, made sure too that we've recruited really good culture kids. Mm-hmm. You know, an education from the University of Alabama, an opportunity to develop. I mean, our numbers speak for itself from a WNBA standpoint. And then, you know, how we handle those conversations. We don't promise anything that we can't deliver. You know, I think from a rev share and NIL standpoint, I leave that up to our administration because I only have so much control over those decisions. And
Sounds good.
The truth.
Yeah.
So.
Well, listen, your program seems to run about as smoothly as any on campus. All right, finally, what's the travel itinerary? Do you leave today? Do you leave in the morning? When do you head down to the Bahamas?
Well, obviously, we're going commercial, and we're going to leave here about 3:30 in the morning, and we'll get there about 3:30 tomorrow, so if everything's okay. On time. So we're excited about, you know, hopping on a plane, spending time together. I know our players' families are looking forward. We've got some that will be joining us, and you know, it's just a good opportunity to build chemistry. We've been to this event before. It's very well run. Two of the greatest folks in college basketball that put this on. So the competition is good. The environment is good. And it should be a challenge for our program. And I'm eager. I'm very, very excited to see how we're going to respond.
Yeah, I know the goal is to get a couple of wins. That's what you're mainly
Absolutely.
Going for,
Absolutely,
right?
Without a doubt, man. No, there's non-negotiables there, I can promise you.
Hey, thank you, Coach. Good luck and have a safe trip,
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate y'all. Roll Tide.
Absolutely. Coach Christy Curry with us. It's 10:15 here on the Gary Harris Show. Hey, I've been talking to you about the YMCA for a long time, and I've been honest. Football season, it's tough for me. And I go into football season with good intentions, and then all of a sudden it's like, I mean, I haven't been to the Y in a while. But you know what? It's going to be there when I go back, and it's going to be there when you decide to go. And we had on Jeff Knox earlier this week talking about don't wait until January. Even if you're going to be going to Christmas parties and holiday parties and Thanksgiving meals, still get in there, work on your conditioning. Get that time in, and then when January comes and you really, really crack down on the diet, you'll have a head start. They'll help you with anything you need at the Y to reach your fitness goals. 2300 13th Street downtown. Find out more at ymcatuscaloosa.org. Stop by and see them or call them to set up a tour, 205-345-9622. All right, we're going to be back, and we're open for phone calls in the next segment. We're back open for phone calls. If you want to give us a ring on the Gary Harris Show hotline, 205-342-9904. We'd love to hear from you. We had to cut some callers off earlier, but go ahead and give us a call now and get through. We're wide open. We've got four people with us here hanging out at Innisfree. Lucky Lunch is on for this weekend on a Friday. That's not normally the case for a game day weekend, but a little slow this weekend with Eastern Illinois in. So come on by and have some lunch with us at 11 o'clock. We'll be right back after this.
Now, this
real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the headlines from Tuscaloosa Thread. Several students received minor injuries when a Tuscaloosa County school bus collided with a pickup at Kings Mill Road at Highway 216's intersection. There is now a marginal risk for severe weather for West Alabama this afternoon and evening. High winds will be the major threat. Dr. Daniel Bray is on the job today as the new Tuscaloosa County.
Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy...
Renovations and Construction serves Tuscaloosa and the West Alabama area. Elite Renovations and Construction, 205-722-8843.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy with periods of rain today and tonight. Maybe a thunderstorm in spots. The high today, 72. Tonight's low, 63. For tomorrow, the chance of a shower early in the day, then becoming partly sunny. The high tomorrow at 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 64 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. 100.9.
All right, 1021, Lookout Weekend. Debbie Deb brings us back into the Gary Harris Show. Fridays at the Free. We're live at Industry Irish Pub. They open the doors at 11 a.m., but we've already got a nice little crowd in here hanging out with us. And this week, I was not able to have lunch last week. I just was swamped. Let's be honest with you. I was covered up. But I am going to stay and have lunch today, particularly with the fact that they've got the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three on tap. So if you want to come out and have lunch with us today at 11 a.m., or if you want to come a little earlier, just come around to the side door. All right, we got to do something about this. Phone calls. Phones have been ringing off the hook this week. And we're now phone call free right now. Chase and Reed just texted me and said, hey, we're phone call free. So we're going to be busy starting in the next segment. So if you want to get through, now would be the time, 205-342-9904. Listen, I get it. As we were talking earlier, it's not a great weekend schedule-wise simply because of the fact that next week is rivalry weekend. And the SEC has addressed that to make sure that there are some conference games in this weekend before rivalry weekend, and there are some. And had seasons gone differently, you know, we would have looked back in August and said, boy, Tennessee-Florida, you know, is going to be a huge game on November 22nd. It didn't turn out that way, you know, with the season that Florida has had, Billy Napier getting fired. Tennessee really hasn't had the season they hoped for. Arkansas at Texas, you know, that was a game that could have been a big game, and it's still a rivalry game. And Missouri at Oklahoma, now that's an interesting game. And again, I'll have my point spread predictions coming up a little bit later on. But Missouri at Oklahoma is an interesting game because you do wonder about the fact that Oklahoma had that huge win in Tuscaloosa. And now they're at home against a Missouri team that's pretty good. Could Missouri go in there and catch Oklahoma napping? So that's an interesting game. But most of the games, though, are, you know, in Kentucky-Vanderbilt. I still think Kentucky-Vanderbilt's a really interesting game. Vanderbilt's an 8.5-point favorite there. Kentucky has turned it around, and they're playing well. And so there are some really good games. Of course, Texas A&M hosts Samford out of Birmingham. Georgia's hosting Charlotte. Alabama, as we know, hosting Eastern Illinois. Auburn hosting Mercer. You've got South Carolina hosting Coastal Carolina, although that is an in-state rivalry. LSU hosting Western Kentucky. So a lot of these games are, you know, against some of what we would call the directional schools. But there's still some interesting football. And on the national scene, USC and Oregon hooking up, that is a big game as well. One thing, too, I want to mention to you, and Sherry and I, one of our good listeners that's here, we're talking about Ron Ingram earlier with the Alabama High School Athletic Association, who's retiring. And high school football playoffs, round three, quarterfinals, if you want to call it that, semifinals for Class 7A because they only have 32 teams. That is on prep. In fact, let's see here. Ron sent out an email last night. We had a few games last night that were played. So let's see here. Yeah, we had Addison and Marion County from not too far away played last night in Class 1A. Addison won that game 28-22. We had in Class 4A, Plainview beat Good Hope 28-7. In Class 5A, Scottsboro beat Fairview in a close one, 16-14. So we had some Thursday night action. And, of course, tonight in Class 7A, as I said, it's semifinal times in 7A. All the usual suspects are ready. Opelika is at Auburn, and Thompson travels to Central Phoenix City. Class 6A quarterfinals, Muscle Shoals at Mountain Brook, Homewood at Clay Chalkville, Hueytown at Benjamin Russell, and Alex City. That game's in Alex City, of course, Benjamin Russell, and Saraland at Pike Road. Class 5A, Briarwood Christian is at Moody. Central Clay County is at Vigor. That ought to be a heck of a ball game right there now down in Pritchard. That ought to be a heck of a ball game. And Williamson is at Montgomery Catholic. Class 4A, Anniston travels to Deschler. That ought to be a good game. Not a good game at this point, obviously. W.S. Neal is at Jackson. And we've got Bullitt County at St. Michael Catholic down in Fairhope. Class 3A, Gordo at Piedmont. Now, that's a game, obviously, that we're watching closely. Gordo 10-1, Piedmont 12-0. Geraldine at Mars Hill Bible. Glenwood at Southside Selma, and Montgomery Academy at Bayside Academy. In Class 2A, Pisgah's at Southeastern. TA travels to Coosa Christian to play Rush Probst and the Conquerors. Now, Coosa Christian beat TA in Tuscaloosa back on October 24th, but I guarantee you Josh Wright will make adjustments, and they'll be ready to go. I don't know if they're going to be good enough to go on the road and over in Gadsden and beat Coosa Christian or not, but they'll make some adjustments from that first game, I promise you that. Lynette's at Luverne, and Realtown is at Providence Christian down in Dothan. Class 1A, Hubbardville at Wadley. And we'll be there. I've got a TV crew up there today. They're having a pep rally up in Hubbardville to send them off about noon. And Hubbardville's 12-0, and Wadley's 11-0. And those are two really good football teams. That ought to be a heck of a game. As we mentioned last night, Marion County fell in a tough one to Addison, 28-22. Southern Choctaw's at Maplesville, and Leroy is at McKenzie. So that is your Alabama High School Athletic Association playoff schedule for tonight. And we gave you the three final scores from the games that were on Thursday night. So ready for high school football. For us here in West Alabama, as I said, not that many teams left, but TA, Gordo, Hubbardville, we'll have all those games covered tonight. You can join me on WVUA 23 News at 9 tonight for your high school football playoffs. And also got high school basketball cranking up. Big game last night. Barry Sanderson, who is on with Wimp and Barry before my show, also coaches the Northridge basketball team. And they played last night down at Hale County. Now, Hale County had already knocked off Paul Bryant, the defending Class 6A state champion. And the 4A Wildcats, of course, led by Gage Mayfield, Oklahoma commit, beat Northridge last night, 77-70. Hale County is legit. Packed gym down there last night. I'm going to have the highlights from that game coming up tonight on WVUA 23 News at 5. We were there last night, and it was late start, standing room only, great basketball game. I'll have those highlights for you tonight at 5. All right, it's 10:28 here on the Gary Harris Show, and we're going to take a break here. But before we do, I need to talk to you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health. If you're a man and you're not feeling the way that you think you should, you can do something about it. You know, if it's low energy, maybe you don't have the vitality that you've had in the past, get by Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa. They offer convenient, expert-backed care for all men looking to feel and perform their best. You know, if you're dealing with fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, and weight gain, those aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs that your body needs support. And at Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. It is a simple process. Step one, complete intake and simple blood work. Get results in 15 minutes. Step two, meet with a clinic director who specializes in hormone therapy and men's health. And step three, begin your customized treatment plan. Feel better immediately. Get back in the game at Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa. Tell them you heard about it on the Gary Harris Show. All right, we're going to come back with Brett Pritchard with the Auburn Report. Also, our Bama football trivia contest we will run. Presented by T-Town Menswear, T-Town Gallery, University Mall. Giving away that full-size Greg Gamble National Championship print from the Rose Bowl in 2010. Nick Saban's first national championship for 2009. Undefeated. It's beautiful. It's ready to be framed. So we'll do our interview with Brett Pritchard. Also, our Bama football trivia contest. All that's coming up. So keep it dialed in to the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTVC live from Industry Hours Pub. Stay with us.
It's on his phone and that sound? That's peace of mind from Chase.
Chase Mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Well, Brett Pritchard from the Auburn Blitz here in just a minute, but it's also T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery Bama football trivia time. Last week our contest got knocked out because we lost our signal, unfortunately, and I apologize to Brett after the show. We just out of my control, but everything's up and running good today, so we're going to give away that Greg Gamble full-size, beautiful color print ready for framing of Coach Saban's first national championship from the Rose Bowl at Alabama's first national championship following the 2009 season, 2010 Rose Bowl that went over Texas. So here is the trivia question coming up. You know how we do it, 205-342-9904. You call in to qualify. You qualify sixth. You get a six next to your name. Also, I look for social media messages and app messages. We'll qualify you any way we can. We'll do it during the entire segment. All right, here's the question. Alabama's playing Eastern Illinois tomorrow. As if you listen to the show this week, you already know the answer because I've talked about it. Eastern Illinois has got some famous alums. Sean Payton, Mike Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo. But the one that we're going to ask about is the all-time Dallas Cowboys leader in career passing yards. And he played quarterback at Eastern Illinois. Now, I want to, this is perfect timing too, because he's not going to be the career leader much longer because Dak Prescott is nipping at his heels, only looks like about 400 yards behind him. Could break it in the next game. So our question is, who is the former Eastern Illinois quarterback? And he's now an analyst for CBS. So I'm just giving you the answer. Who is the all-time Dallas Cowboys leader in career passing yards with 34,183. This Eastern Illinois alum, who is he? Call now, 205-342-9904. We'll qualify you during this entire segment. And then the next segment, we'll give you the answer and we'll draw for our winner. All right, let me welcome in Brett Pritchard now that everything's up and running and good to go. Good morning, Brett. How are you?
I'm good. Gary, how are you, buddy?
Doing great. Did you enjoy the bye week?
Did, yes, absolutely. It's always good to have a little bit of a break. Not much, but a little bit of one.
Okay, let's get to Auburn. Of course, the Iron Bowl's next week. Obviously, both teams are, you know, pointing toward that. Clearly, Alabama and Auburn, but both have games this weekend. You've got a Mercer team that, for their level, is a pretty good football team. And the big news, of course, is that freshman Deuce Knight is going to get the start. Ashton Daniels wants to hold back so that when he plays in the Iron Bowl, he will have only played in four games, so he'll preserve a year of eligibility. So you get a look at the true freshman and his first ever start against a football team that, you know, is a good team for their level. So is there any anxiety surrounding Deuce Knight getting to play on Saturday? What's the vibe there at Auburn?
Well, I don't know that it's anxiety. I think maybe more a little bit of excitement and anxiety all kind of mixed in together to get an opportunity to have Deuce Knight on the field and let it be his game. And, you know, the way this thing worked out with Ashton Daniels redshirt, not able to play, but in four games and been able to preserve that redshirt. If he would have played in this game, would have given it five and that would have been off the table. So it almost like it was meant to be. And, you know, that left Deuce Knight and Jackson Arnold available. And, again, no cut on Jackson Arnold. I think he had his opportunity for a majority of the season. And with where Auburn sits right now, I think it was the right option. And I think DJ Durk and Derek Nix made the right decision to allow Deuce Knight to get an opportunity. Really, the only significant play-in time Deuce Knight's had was all the way back in the spring, and where he had to be the quarterback majority of the time in the spring game because Jackson Arnold had gotten injured right there prior to the 8A game. So he got a majority of the snaps there. But in any meaningful snaps in a game, it's been a while for Deuce Knight. So at practice this week, he seemed like a guy that was rejuvenated and excited and appreciative of the opportunity, and you know, he knows what's riding on it. He knows that, yeah, this is a good football team. Again, it's a different level, but they are 9-1. They've got a quarterback that's thrown for over 3,200 yards and 33 touchdowns and only 5 interceptions. So this team's coming in here just like they've seen other opponents, thinking that hey, they can knock Auburn off, and rightfully so, they should. They've had a great season. So I think Deuce Knight understands what's on the line, and you know, I know he wants to go out and perform to his highest level now that he's got an opportunity to get the big stage.
Yeah, and it's a big game for Auburn from the standpoint that you and I have discussed this ad nauseum, 4 straight losing seasons. You're trying to avoid that, and if you could win the next 2 against Mercer and Alabama, this team could be bowl eligible and get to a bowl game. So there's a lot to play for tomorrow for Auburn.
There is, and you know, not, when you said that, it's just remarkable that we're talking about this again. What, you know, when we looked at this schedule and looked at this roster, and you know, you and I talked about this so much going into the season, we couldn't see anything less than, you know, 8-4 for Auburn. We thought 8-4 would be, you know, very attainable. It should have been attainable for this team, but you know, nevertheless, here Auburn sits once again trying to figure out a way not to have a losing season. So yeah, from that standpoint, it's very critical. You got to get past Mercer, and then you got to focus on Alabama, and you know, you take them one at a time. And so yeah, that's what makes this game critical. If you lose this game, you don't have a chance at that. So you need to go out and approach this as important as any game on the schedule, because it's the next one. And I think Auburn will do that. Preparation wise, under DJ Durkin and Derek Nix, I think they learned some things in the Vanderbilt game. Obviously, the offense was way better than it's been all year. But DJ Durkin also learned some things that he can't afford to neglect during a game now. So you'll see Auburn build on that and then, you know, prepare starting for the Iron Bowl here.
Obviously, the business at hand are these 2 football games, and clearly the Iron Bowl is going to be a huge game. It is every year. So that's where the focus feels like it is. You know, me tracking Auburn a little bit, and that's where it should be. At the same time, there is a coaching search going on. DJ Durkin's getting a dress rehearsal. Obviously, John Sumrall's name's being mentioned heavily. What's the latest update? Anything you can tell us in regards to the Auburn coaching search at this time?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've talked about it all week, and just from what we know and what we're being told kind of the field is that, you know, John Sumrall really, even prior to Hugh Freeze being let go, was a name that was popping up and was a guy that a lot of schools were looking at and are looking at, and what he's been able to do in a short amount of time. And a lot of people kind of anticipated what the end result was going to be with Hugh Freeze. So kind of looking into the future and saying that guy that, you know, you would definitely want to go after. And I think John Cohen has had him at the top of the list since day one. And as soon as Hugh Freeze was let go, it was the name that everybody talked about. Of course, there's been other names, Eli Drinkwitz, Kenny Dillingham, you know, I can list several more, but those seem to be the ones that were at the top of the list, even James Franklin. But, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, a guy that's really been at the top, it's never wavered. And, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces, and there's a lot of things that are still going to go down with all these coaches and all these positions that are open. So John Cohen told everybody in the press conference when he introduced DJ Durkin as the interim coach that he was going to make this decision, and it was, and he was the committee, and he laid out a timetable of wanting to name a coach as soon as possible after the Iron Bowl as he could. And it just feels like with some of the things that have happened over the last week with John Summerall canceling an interview or not going through with an interview at Florida, Auburn trying to get everything lined up as much as possible to maybe make that announcement after the Iron Bowl. If it's not John Summerall, again, there's a couple more names there, but I think John Cohen meant business. I think he understands the timetable and the signing period on December 3rd and the transfer portal in January and all the things that are coming down the line, and he wants to get that guy in place as soon as possible.
All right. Good synopsis of football. Let's turn our attention to basketball. Stephen Pearl, of course, taking over for his dad. Talented roster. Had the scare against Bethune-Cookman, and then, quite frankly, you know, had a game against Houston there in Birmingham. Exciting atmosphere. Lost by one to the number one team in the country. So, give us the basketball progress report for the Tigers.
Yeah, I think right now, namely Keyshawn Hall being out with a foot injury in that Houston game is probably the biggest storyline because of where Auburn's headed. The players there were tournament out in Las Vegas, the same tournament Alabama's going to be in. A lot of really, really good teams in this tournament. And, you know, the competition is ramping up. You got Oregon first, and then you got Michigan behind them. And Oregon's not ranked, but they're 4-0, and Michigan is a top 10 team, and team Auburn played last year in the tournament. So, you know, it's one of those deals where he's obviously the best player on the team, and if he's not at 100%, it's gonna be detrimental to Auburn. But hopefully he will be able to get back and be able to participate in that tournament and as close to 100% as he can. But there's a lot of great pieces on this team, Gary, and it's a different looking team. It's not the rim protectors like Auburn's had the last couple of years, but you know, maybe, you know, the wing players are a little bit longer now, and with Elijah Freeman and, of course, Keyshawn Hall, as I mentioned, and some of the other guys that have contributed. But, yeah, I think after the Bethune-Cookman game, this team's gotten better. It's a whole bunch of new guys still learning to play with each other. Tahat Pettiford is the only returner from last year. And, you know, that's another storyline. Tahat Pettiford just not shooting the ball very well at all right now from the field. And definitely feel like that will turn around. But Auburn, to be realistic, and Coach Pearl talked about this, for Auburn to be successful this season, they've got to have Tahat Pettiford in, you know, his top form. And right now he's just not. And so a shooter's got to shoot the basketball, and he's going to have to shoot his way out of it. He also does a lot of other good things. But definitely need to get him going, need to get Keyshawn Hall back healthy. And obviously getting Keyshawn Murphy back after he sat for a couple of games and looking like he's back close to 100% has been key. So a lot of great pieces. Going to be a big challenge Monday and Tuesday in Las Vegas for this team. But, again, I think that's why Bruce Pearl last year and Stephen Pearl now, and then, of course, Nate Oates, while he's been at Alabama, have scheduled these tough games and these tough tournaments because it makes you stronger and it gets you ready for SEC play.
All right, semi-football question, but it's not related to the team. But you had a relationship with Hugh Freeze. You know, I've talked about this before. These coaches, man, one day they got the keys to the kingdom, and then if they're fired, then it's like, you know, it's almost like a pariah type of situation. You know, they can't even get in the building. Have you talked to him at all, Brett, or have you talked to anybody that knows him? How's he doing? I mean, obviously, when these coaches get let go like this, you know, they're going to be low key for a while. Anything that you can tell us about Hugh Freeze you know, I guess he's just laying low. Any kind of update there?
Yeah, I talked to somebody yesterday that had a, you know, brief conversation with him, and you know, I think he's doing fine. I think, you know, he's spending some time with his family and grandkids, and, you know, an opportunity to maybe take a step back and do a little self-reflection and enjoy this time and, you know, then kind of shift gears and see what's next for him. I mean, he's still fairly a young guy, and I think he still would like to coach and, you know, would not be surprised to see him pop up again pretty soon somewhere. So, Yeah, I think he's fine. Outside of not being at Auburn anymore. I know he definitely wanted to be there. It didn't work out. But I think you'll see Hugh Freeze again somewhere for sure.
Okay, good. Because I was going to ask you if you think you'll coach again. And this is on a related note, kind of where we're at in college football. I mean, James Franklin gets fired in season by Penn State and is already the new coach in season. Now, he won't coach them actively, but he's already been named the head coach at Virginia Tech. What in the world? I mean, you get fired at one place, and before the season's even over, you've already got another job, man. This stuff's wild, isn't it?
We are in a bizarre time, and when we think we've seen it all, buddy, just hold on. You're something around the corner, and that's going to continue to happen with all this evolving and with NIL and all the things that we talk about on a daily basis. You just don't know what's around the corner.
All right, last Lee, I know you're obviously involved with the Alabama High School Athletic Association Radio Network and Benjamin Russell. We're at quarterfinal time tonight, except for the 7A. Of course, we're semifinals since we only have 32 teams. But Ben Russell, this 6A is loaded. Muscle Shoals, Mountain Brook, Homewood, Clay, Chalkville, Hueytown, Ben Russell, Sarah Land, and Pike Road. Now, Hueytown doesn't have the record, 6-5. Ben Russell's 11-1, but you know how dangerous the Golden Gophers can be. And Benjamin Russell, I mean, I know they feel like they've got a state championship caliber team. What's your prediction and outlook for this game tonight?
Yeah, I think you're going to have a good football game. There's a potential for some bad weather tonight. So, hopefully that's wrong. Hopefully they'll miss that and it'll stay away. But, got to kind of prepare for that and how that affects, teams. And, if it is a deluge, you're going to have to really rely on running the football. And I know both of these teams, Hueytown especially, really relies more on the pass than they do the run. But, it's going to be about teams that can protect and take care of the football. But, yeah, Benjamin Russell, they've got a great team. They've gotten better. Seems like as the weeks have progressed, that's what you want. The last 2 weeks have been tough. Theodore and Central Tuscaloosa both were really good opponents and two different brands of football. So Benjamin Russell's had to really adjust defensively for two different styles of offense. But I think they're dialed in, and having a third straight game at home really helps. And, this Hueytown program is very familiar to Benjamin Russell. They played twice in the last 3 years. Hueytown winning one, Benjamin Russell winning one a couple of years ago. So what kind of team they're going to bring in. They're going to bring in a team that's going to compete and going to have great athletes, going to have good lines of scrimmage. So at this point, you need to just not look at records. If you're in the third round, you're there for a reason, and you're playing good football, and I think that's how everybody has to approach it.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's a lot of fun. It's a great time of the year. I still wish we could get some football weather for high school football. Hopefully it won't be rain, but I'm talking about cooler temperatures. But seems like
no doubt.
We just don't get it anymore. Hey, thanks a lot. What you got coming up on the Auburn Blitz?
Yeah, we'll actually be in Auburn on location today at Ponco Chicken, so we're excited about that. So looking forward to being there. So make sure y'all tune us in at noon, and always appreciate being on with you, Gary.
Brett, did you say Taco Chicken?
No, Ponco, P-O-N-K-O. Oh.
That's okay.
Not Taco Chicken.
Okay, thanks for clearing that up. I misheard.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. Thank you, buddy. All right,
man. All right, buddy. See you.
All right, 10:49, and great interview there with Brett. Okay, we're still qualifying people. I've got a couple more that are coming through that I'm going to get qualified. But when we come back, my SEC point spread predictions. I'll read some app messages that I missed this week, and we'll wrap up our contest, and we will have the electronic roulette wheel spin for a winner. So we got one segment to go here on the Gary Harris Show, and we're live at Industry Hours Pub, and they're going to be opening here in about 10 minutes. So come on down and join us for lunch. We'll be right back to wrap it up after this.
Offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three specials
for an extra 20% off gifts that are the perfect fit. Select styles. Offer ends November 22nd. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy with periods of rain today and tonight. Maybe a thunderstorm in spots. The high today, 72. Tonight's low, 63. For tomorrow, the chance of a shower early in the day, then becoming partly sunny. The high tomorrow at 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 66 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
Down for another week here on the Gary Harris Show, but we're not done yet. We've got several items. So let me go ahead and run down my SEC point spread predictions. Now, listen, I use the SEC point spread odds by ESPN. They don't list odds for some of these FCS matchups. There's no odds listed for Alabama. Obviously, I'm picking Alabama to win. I got it 58-6, but there's no line. I know there are places you can find a line, but I use ESPN odds. All right, let's run them down. Oklahoma's laying 6.5 at home against Mizzou. You know what? I'm taking Mizzou here. I think they're gonna play them tough. Georgia's laying 44.5 at home against Charlotte. I'm gonna take Charlotte here. I just think Georgia, coming off the stretch they've been on, they're going to win the game, but I don't think they're going to cover. I'm going to take a lot of underdogs. Vanderbilt laying 8.5. Kentucky's turned it around. I think this is a touchdown game. I'm taking Kentucky plus the points. I'm taking Arkansas plus the 8.5 at Texas. How about that? I'm taking Coastal Carolina plus the 24.5 against South Carolina. I'm taking Florida at home plus the 4.5 against Tennessee. And I'm taking Western Kentucky plus the 21.5 against LSU. I think a lot of these teams aren't going to cover in this weekend, heading into rivalry weekend next week. So those are my picks. And now it's time to get to the trivia. And, oh, let me read a couple app messages that I missed during the week. I can tell you as a Bama fan that winning the Iron Bowl has always been more important to me than any other wins. That's from Pop and Lynette. Feels like 1991, 1992 all over again with Alabama going to the SEC championship game, losing, you don't go to the title game. I got something for you and your ladybug problem, which have already been delivered today. I live in Chambers County. We're having the same problem down here with ladybugs. And so anyway, those are just some updated app messages that I missed during the week. Okay, it's time to do the contest. And first of all, the question was, who is the former Eastern Illinois quarterback who is the all-time leading yardage passer for the Dallas Cowboys in the history of the organization? That was the question, and the answer, of course, is Tony Romo with 34,183 yards. Dak Prescott will soon pass him. Dak's at 33,756, but for right now, it's still Tony Romo. That was the answer. How many qualifiers do we have, Reed?
Gary, we had 23.
23 qualifiers. So here's how it works. Whatever order you qualified, that's your number. We're going to roll the electronic roulette wheel. It's going to land on a number, and that will be our winner. Go ahead and give it a roll. Spin, I guess, is a better term.
Gary, your winner is Cole.
Cole? What was that number?
He was number 4.
All right, I know Cole has, he usually shows up down here at Innisfree. He couldn't make it today, but he has been telling me about how badly he wants to win and that he's never won. And the one week that he doesn't come, he wins. But congratulations to Cole. Obviously, I see Cole a lot here in town, so we'll get him his print probably next week. He'll probably be here for the Iron Bowl week. So Tony Romo was the answer. Cole, number 4 qualifier, is our winner. Thanks to everybody who participated. That's going to wrap it up for the show. And as I said, we're here at Innisfree. I'm going to have lunch today. We're about to open the doors. Come on down here and join us. And catch me on TV tonight with your local sports. As I said, at 5 o'clock, I'm going to have pep rally up at Hubbardville as they get ready to play in the Class 1A quarterfinals tonight at Wadley. Also, that highlights from that Hill County Northridge boys basketball game last night. And then at 9, we'll have high school playoff action for you. So, and then, of course, tomorrow I'll be covering the Alabama Eastern Illinois game. So, for Reed and Chase back in the control room, I'm Gary Harris. Thanks for listening, everybody. And I'll be back on Monday. We'll recap the weekend. The Miller's Edge is coming up next. I'm about to have lunch here at Innisfree Irish Pub. Come on down and join us. Have a great weekend, everybody.